the next session is with Amy from Nominec, and Amy's going to be talking about the DNS fund, which is currently in its pilot. Over to you.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. It's so nice to meet you all. And I want to thank the DevRoom facilitators for bringing everyone together. I hear that last year it was in a much smaller room, so we're going up in the world. We've got a bigger room this year. So I'm here today to talk to you a bit about the Nominec DNS Fund. It's very much got my learning hat on, coming to you with humility, because I really want to hear from you about what you think and how we can improve, because we're very, very early days. So forgive our bumps and mistakes, but that's what we're here for, right? Is to learn and improve and say what we haven't got right. So I work for Nominec. We run the .uk registry and a number of other TLDs, top-level domains. And as part of that, we are a public benefit company. So it's part of our articles of association that we can't make profit in a traditional way. And that means that we give a lot of our excess from selling domains to public benefit causes. Now, traditionally, my role has looked at things like digital skills, online safety, but we've been really trying to listen to our community. And this year, last year, 2025, for the first time, we were really delighted to enter a new space and start funding open source DNS projects. So as I say, it's relatively new for us. But it's quite interesting to then think about, you know, how that's come about and what our personal incentives are as well. So where did we start with all of this? Well, it tracks back to even before I had my child, who turned 3 last week. And we did some research in 2022 with this amazing organization called Demos. They're an awesome think tank in the UK. And they set out to help us craft the question, what is it that we're trying to influence? What is it that we're trying to do? And it's really, what should Nominec focus our investment on to support the technology ecosystem that underpins internet infrastructure? And once we've got a handle over that question and we've got a bit of focus, what funding model should we use? So we set out and asked this question of, you can tell a little bit of who ended up having a say in this. Our staff and our members, and overwhelmingly those people were saying, look, don't try and do lots of the shiny things, don't do lots of new and innovative things, look at what's existing, look at the maintenance of what is out there. The other thing that they said, and this graph isn't stacked because you could answer multiple to this question, you can really see overwhelmingly our members in particular, so those are people that work with us that buy domains and resell domains in their own work. They said work with open source communities. And you can see a couple of quotes up there. The investing profits in open source with a focus on human rights. Seriously, nothing else. We also did a massive landscape map. So we sought to really understand other funders, government actors, who in the DNS was operating. What sort of projects we might expect to go out there, identifying different actors and players, and where we might have a role and where we might have a niche. And I just absolutely love this quote, which comes from an expert advisor, on how when we look at who is maintaining and who's paid to maintain open source, often when that's at the behest of profit, the motivations are going to steer them towards those profit-driven motivations. So, you know, I think it's really powerful to think about those motivations and think where there might be pots of funding or actors that could be looking at it with a different lens. And where did that research kind of lead us? What were the main findings? And I'd love to hear, actually I'm going to ask you, whether you think these are right or whether you think there's more to it. But this is from all of this mapping, lots of interviews with staff members and those in the open source community about the pre-existing funding in open source. So the first one being that the majority of funding stems from corporates, not foundations, and that can bias development. Second being single source funding, so you get one funder wants to just take credit for one project as opposed to pooling funds, and something that Nick Gates was talking about earlier with joining up lots of funds. And thirdly, funding not being available for individuals, only projects. Does that sound familiar? People nodding? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, do shout out and I can repeat what you say if you think of anything else. But this is what it found. And I think it's interesting because we identified these problems, but I'm not going to say that automatically we were able to resolve them, right? Because we weren't. We've made mistakes. We've got problems, and we've got challenges to reaching these. So, you know, the second problem here in particular about having one funder, one project. We have tried to reach out to other funders and combine and work, but it's not always easy. And sometimes when you do work for an organisation like mine, they do want to have their name associated with it so that they can sort of celebrate and say what they're doing. This third problem in particular has been a real challenge for us, and I'm just going to share a little anecdote about taking this